السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم.
أعوذ من سورة الفاتحة. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Fifth, ayyadahu Allahu ta'ala bi nasri aziz, recited verse 262 of Surah Al-Baqarah. The translation of this verse is as follows: the similitude of those who spend their wealth for the cause of Allah is like the similitude of a grain of corn which grows 7 ears, in each ear 100 grains, and Allah multiplies it further for whomsoever He pleases, and Allah is bountiful, all-knowing. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, as of 1st November, the Jamaat's new financial year of Tehreek-e-Jadid commences. As such, the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid is formally announced, and the financial sacrifices made by various Jamaats in the financial year that has passed are mentioned as well. Similarly, the importance of offering financial sacrifices is briefly mentioned as well. However, before mentioning the importance of offering financial sacrifices, I will briefly mention the history of Tehreek-e-Jadid. Tehreek-e-Jadid was established in 1934, as there are some new Ahmadis, youths and children who may not be aware of this. I will therefore mention this, and as I said, that Tehreek-e-Jadid was started in 1934 by Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The need for this arose as the Ihrar movement started opposition against the Jamaat at that time. They had raised an uproar, creating a storm of opposition, and claimed that they would completely eradicate Ahmadiyyat from the face of the earth, and that nothing would be left of Qadian, and that they would completely destroy it. Similarly, they intended to desecrate the Baheshti Maqbara, where the blessed grave of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam is, and this is a very ordinary matter for these people. And at that time, the government was not protecting the Jamaat as it should have. In fact, it would be more appropriate to say that it was supporting the opponents. And so, at such a time, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu encouraged the Jamaat to establish a fund so that they could propagate the message of Islam and Ahmadiyyat to the corners of the earth, and also to strengthen the organizational and administrative structure of the Jamaat in order to counter the mischief and uproar of the opponents. Moreover, to also refute the propaganda being spread against the community. And not only refute it, rather to also fulfill the due rights of Tabligh, i.e. propagating the message of Islam Ahmadiyyat, as he felt that they had not effectively fulfilled the due rights of Tabligh as it ought to be. And so with this intention, Hazrat Muslim Maud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu announced the scheme of Tehreek-e-Jadid. He also stated that we must propagate the message of Islam Ahmadiyyat within the country as well as across the world, so that the enemy may not try to harm our plans anywhere. If there is opposition in one place, then progress should be seen in another place, and the administrative and organizational structure of the Jamaat should continue to expand. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, today we can see that the message of Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam, has reached every corner of the world, and our missionaries and preachers are actively serving across the globe. In various countries, we have built mosques, our schools are running, our hospitals are functioning, and our missionaries are being granted the opportunity to serve. Likewise, literature is being published. MTA studios have been established in many countries, in addition to the central studio, which broadcasts worldwide, and radio stations are also operating. Although the expense for all these works are partly met through other funds, but Tehreek-e-Jadid plays a vital role in supporting them. It is under Tehreek-e-Jadid that missionaries are trained, and by the grace of Allah the Almighty, Jamiats have been established in almost 6 or 7 countries around the world. From there, missionaries are trained and then spread throughout the world, conveying the message of Islam and Ahmadiyyat. And as for the Ihrar movement's claim that they would destroy Qadian brick by brick and wipe Ahmadiyyat off the face of the earth, our opponents continue to raise the same slogans even today. Just recently, one of their conferences was held in Rabwa, and they once again repeated these chants. But every year, these empty slogans receive their response through the progress and advancement of the community, through the manifest blessings of Allah the Almighty. Those who are joining the community through the Ba'ath, i.e. Pledge of Allegiance, are themselves the answer to these opponents. And today, the very existence of the community spread across 220 countries of the world stands as the clearest answer to their claims. You used to declare that you would erase Ahmadiyyat from existence. Yet look how Allah the Almighty's grace continues to cause the community to flourish and progress even further. Thus, the practical support and help of Allah the Almighty is itself proof that the claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was and remains true. Ahmadiyyat, by the grace of Allah the Almighty, is not a tree planted by any man, nor by any organization, nor by any government. In fact, it is a tree planted by God Himself, a mighty, flourishing tree whose branches have spread across the entire world. And Allah the Almighty continues to expand it and cause it to bear fruit. This movement continues and grows ever stronger. In the verse I recited, Allah the Almighty states that the example of those who spend their wealth in His cause is like a grain, just as this translation was given earlier, that grows 10 ears, and each ear containing 100 grains, and Allah multiplies it even more. Allah the Almighty has promised that whatever you spend in His way, He will never leave it unrewarded. Rather, He has the power to increase your sacrifice 700-fold or even more. Thus, through this declaration, Allah the Almighty has inspired the hearts of believers to open their hearts and spend freely in His cause, and to spend for the propagation of His religion. The very mission that in this age was entrusted to the promised Messiah and Mahdi alayhi salam, and is now entrusted to His community. When we spend for this purpose, Allah the Almighty places blessings in our wealth. And every year we witness with our very own eyes, and I continue to mention examples of it. And this year too, there are countless instances of how Allah the Almighty opens people's hearts. And in many places, people continue to sacrifice selflessly, without any worry for material constraint. And in return, Allah the Almighty provides for them, or grants them contentment for the heart, so that even if the results of their sacrifice are not immediately visible, they still feel happiness in having offered it. And soon after, Allah the Almighty fulfills the very desires they had sacrificed for the sake of financial sacrifices. Allah the Almighty declares that such people will be rewarded in this world as well as in the next. Many indeed experience the fruits of their sacrifices in this very life, while the reward of the hereafter is beyond measure. And the early scholars have also interpreted this verse in the same way. For instance, Imam Razi in his commentary writes that Allah the Almighty has promised to return one's wealth many times over. He writes that Allah the Almighty has presented arguments for his power to give life and to cause death. If this divine power did not exist, then the command to spend in his cause would carry no weight. For if there was no being to reward or punish, then spending in his way would be meaningless. If there is no reward or punishment, then Allah the Almighty would not say, "Then spend in my way and I will grant you in return." It means that he alone grants reward to those who sacrifice in his cause, and likewise he punishes those who commit sin. In this context, he wrote that, in other words, Allah the Almighty says to those who spend, that do you know that I created you and completed my favors upon you? You are aware of my power to reward and recompense. Therefore, this knowledge of yours should inspire you to spend your wealth. For he alone, that is, Allah the Almighty, gives in abundance in return for little. And he illustrates this by saying that the one who sows a single grain, he brings forth seven ears. And in every ear, there are 100 grains. Further explaining this, he says that the verse that they spend their wealth in the way of Allah, noting that Sabil Allah, that is, the way of Allah, means religion, i.e. spending for the sake of Allah's religion. Indeed, in the Ahmadiyya community, we continuously witness how Allah the Almighty fulfills His promise and this divine assurance. Hazrat Muslim Aud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu also explained this verse, stating that if you spend your wealth for the works of faith, then just as Allah the Almighty brings forth 700 grains from a single seed, He will similarly increase your wealth many times over and grant you even greater progress, as is indicated in the words, "And Allah multiplies for whom He pleases." History bears witness that this has always been the case. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu indeed offered great sacrifices. Yet, when Allah the Almighty made him the first Khalifa of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his sacrifices had no comparison to the immense reward he was granted. Similarly, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu gave abundantly, yet he was rewarded to a much greater degree. Whatever Hazrat Usman did, he was granted it thousands of times over in this world. If we look at the circumstances of the companions individually, we find the same treatment from God Almighty. Take the example of Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf. It is recorded that at the time of his passing, he possessed 3 million dirhams, yet throughout his life he had spent hundreds of thousands in charity. Likewise, when the companions left their homelands, Allah the Almighty granted them better homes. When they left behind their brothers and sisters, He granted them better brothers and sisters, and when they were separated from their parents, they found in the Holy Prophet peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, a being more loving than any parent. In short, one who sacrifices in the way of Allah the Almighty is never deprived of a noble reward. In the previous sermons, I have been speaking about the companions of Badr. And in the current series of sermons that are mentioning the accounts from the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in relation to the various expeditions and battles, the righteous deeds and sacrifices of companions also come to light. reflect how Allah the Almighty continued to reward them. And we observe from history that Allah the Almighty never abandoned them to waste away, but instead blessed them abundantly. Thus, Allah the Almighty has mentioned countless times about spending in His cause. He says, in some places, to spend out of the wealth which you love, or if you spend from this, I shall reward you, or I shall continue to expand your wealth, or I shall continue to bless you with my bounties. And we continue to witness these blessings of Allah the Almighty. Even today, every Ahmadi who sincerely sacrifices from the heart feels this. Those who make sacrifices also write their own experiences to me, and it is astonishing to see how Allah the Almighty enabled them to offer sacrifices and how He strengthened their faiths. I shall present some examples, but before that, I shall first mention some scholarly and historical references and from the Ahadith as well. Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiallahu ta'ala anhu has explained a statement of Jesus alayhi salam in which he said, "Bestow up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Hazrat Muslim Aoud radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes that this is the teaching of Jesus alayhi salam in the Gospels. However, the Holy Quran says that if you deposit your wealth in the treasury of Allah, then not only will one not steal it, but you shall receive at least 700 in return for one, and there is no limit beyond this. He further writes that then Jesus alayhi salam says that in heaven, the grain cannot be eaten by insects. However, the Holy Quran states that it is not merely protected from insects, but rather that it returns increased 700-fold. Surely, Allah the Almighty is not in need of any man's assistance, but out of His mercy upon His servants. When He grants them the opportunity to perform a deed, then He desires to raise their ranks by way of this. And even in this world, He can actually multiply the reward of their works 700 times. But He shall bestow the recompense of these good deeds manifold more in the next life. Thus, it is the promise of Allah the Almighty that He increases by 700-fold, not only for this world, rather He continues to increase both in this world and in the next life. This explanation has also been given by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiallahu ta'ala anhu at one place. He writes, "Bear well in mind that when the prophets ask for financial contributions, it is not for themselves, but rather it is to grant benefit to those who offer the contributions. That is, when the contributors make sacrifices, it is for their own benefit that they are told to offer financial sacrifice, so that Allah the Almighty may bestow His grace upon them and increase their wealth." He further writes, "There are many paths to attain nearness to Allah the Almighty, and this also is one of those ways, as mentioned at the beginning of the chapter, that is Surah Al-Baqarah in the 4th verse, "Mimma razaqnahum yunfiqoon." And then he states, "Atul mala ala hubbihi." And this is also a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. And then in the same chapter, it states, "Anfiqu mimma razaqnahum." And this too is a verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. Then he states, "Now the subject of spending in the way of Allah is elucidated in detail. In the Gospel, there is a phrase, 'Whoever asks of you, give it to him.' But observe how the Holy Quran completes this subject in 5 sections. In other words, it explained this in great detail. The first question is, to whom and why should one give? And so it is stated to give in order to propagate the word of God. And one example of this is of someone who sows a seed in the earth, for instance, a millet, and many ears begin to emerge from it. Then Allah the Almighty says, 'Wallahu yudhaifu man yasha,' and Allah multiplies it for whomsoever He wills." That is, in some places, the mention is of one being rewarded tenfold, and in others, 1 to 700-fold. And this difference depends upon the need, the time, and the circumstances. For example, a man is by the riverbank. It is winter and rain is falling. Now, if in such a situation, someone asks him for water and he gives him a glass, there is already water everywhere, then this is not a great deed. But if a person gives water to another who is in the jungle at midday, burning with thirst and close to death, afflicted with fever and inflammation, and the person gives him water, then that is a magnificent deed. Thus, based on such distinctions, Allah the Almighty has allotted differences in rewards. Some sacrifices are much greater due to the demand, and thus, because the need is so great, Allah the Almighty increases the reward 700-fold or even more. Whereas at other times the sacrifice is not as great, yet since sacrifice is still required, there Allah the Almighty does not leave it unrewarded. Rather, even there He grants reward double or tenfold. These examples were given by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I radiyallahu ta'ala anhu regarding the spending of wealth. In this context, he also related another account concerning Hazrat Rabia Basri. One day, some guests visited Hazrat Rabia Basri while she was at her home, and there were only two pieces of bread in the house. And so she told her maid to give those two pieces of bread in charity, i.e. sadaqah. The maid replied that it is strange that guests have come to the house, yet you are saying that even this little bit of bread should be given to the poor. A short while later, a voice was heard from outside, and a woman came and said that a wealthy lady who lived in the neighborhood had sent some food. When the food arrived, Hazrat Rabia Basri counted and found that it contained 18 pieces of bread. Her relationship with Allah the Almighty and her faith in Him was such that she was certain that Allah the Almighty would surely grant acceptance to what she had done. She said that she had given two pieces of bread, and so there should be more in return, at least double or 10 times more. So she said that these 18 pieces of bread are not meant for me. I have 20 guests, and so I should have received 20 pieces of bread from Allah. So these are not from me. So she told her that I will not accept this and send them back. Her maid implored her to keep them, as they had been sent as a blessing from Allah. However, Rabia insisted, saying that no, these have not been sent for me. Just then, the same wealthy neighbor called out to her maid, saying that where have you gone? I had prepared some other food for Rabia Basri. And so when that food arrived, it contained exactly 20 pieces of bread. Hence, this was the manner in which saintly people had firm faith in Allah the Almighty, and Allah the Almighty would fulfill their trust. In this regard, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I explained why one should spend in the way of Allah. He said, firstly, it should be purely for the sake of seeking Allah's pleasure. In other words, one should not give it as if they are doing a favor. Rather, it should be to attain the pleasure of Allah and His happiness. Spend because Allah the Almighty has bestowed countless favors upon us. And then, spend for the sake of His religion, for it is necessary to give for the sake of His established faith. And how should one give? It should be purely for Allah's pleasure. As mentioned before, it should not be for one to feel as if they are doing a favor. One who sacrifices for the sake of the Jamaat is not doing any sort of favor upon the Jamaat. Rather, it is Allah the Almighty's favor and blessing that when a person spends sincerely in his path, he multiplies it manifold. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, states, those who spend their wealth in the way of God find that God blesses their wealth just as when a single grain is sown into the earth, though it is only one seed, yet God brings forth 7 ears from it, and in each ear 100 grains. This is the fundamental principle, that it is in the power of Allah the Almighty to increase the original thing manifold. In fact, all of us live only by virtue of this very power of God. If God were not capable of increasing things by His will, then the entire world would perish, and not a single living creature would remain on the face of the earth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, also writes that in the science of the interpretation of dreams, wealth is represented by one's liver. If one sees a dream in which they have removed their liver, it means that they have spent their wealth. This is why giving alms or charity is equivalent to giving away one's life, as it were. Meaning, offering financial sacrifices is of great importance. When a person gives charity, they exhibit an immense degree of sincerity and steadfastness. However, the fact of the matter is that mere words are of no use until they are supported by practice. The reason charity is called sadaqah in Arabic is because it is the hallmark of the truthful, i.e. the sadiqin. Then it is narrated in a hadith that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that, "Shall I not tell you who is the most generous among all those who are generous?" The people said that, "Certainly, O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him." The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that Allah is the most generous of all who show generosity. Then, with reference to himself, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, said that, "Among all mankind, I am the most generous." Then the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, drew attention towards prayer, fasting, and financial sacrifice. In another narration, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, stated that prayer, fasting, and remembrance of Allah increases the reward of wealth spent in the way of Allah 700 times. Hence, this serves as a guidance for those who offer financial sacrifices to also increase the standards of their worship. They should not think that they're merely giving financial sacrifices enough. Rather, they must elevate the standard of their prayers and worship as well. One should not think that after financial sacrifice, they are absolved of worship. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that prayer and fasting are also necessary alongside financial sacrifices, as mentioned in the hadith cited. These are the very deeds that draw one nearer to Allah the Almighty, and then Allah the Almighty blesses them and continues to increase their wealth. There are many people who offer sacrifices, and even today, we witness many examples of people who, despite being in need, spend in the way of Allah the Almighty. And they spend with the hope that by spending in the way of Allah the Almighty, they will be able to attain His pleasure, and also that their sacrifice will not go in vain. And indeed, Allah the Almighty does not let such sacrifices go to waste. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated in a hadith that a man once came to him and asked that, "O Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, which charity earns the greatest reward?" The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, replied, "The greatest charity is that which you give while you are healthy, in need of wealth, desirous of wealth, fearful of poverty, and hopeful for prosperity. When you are in this state, then do not delay giving charity." In other words, one should give charity and alms in the way of Allah the Almighty despite having worldly desires. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, continued that, "Let it not be that you are approaching your death, at which time you say that, 'Give this much to so-and-so and that much to so-and-so,' for by then that wealth no longer belongs to you, for it has already passed to your ears." Hence, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, taught that true sacrifice is to spend in the way of Allah while in good health and while in need. If you do so, then Allah the Almighty will grant you more in this world and in the next. And the examples of the elders in our Jamaat were also similar. They never calculated their wealth when spending in the way of Allah the Almighty. Rather, they gave freely and generously. Similarly, we find examples from among the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It is narrated that once the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, advised his sister-in-law, Hazrat Asma bint Abu Bakr, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that do not calculate when spending in the way of Allah. Otherwise, Allah will also calculate what He gives to you in return. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, further said that, "Do not tie shut your money pouches out of miserliness." That is, whenever one has stored their money, should not remain closed off or hoarded out of miserliness. Otherwise, it will always remain closed and no wealth will ever enter it. Thus, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, taught that if wealth is spent for the sake of Allah, then more will be received in return. Therefore, one should spend with an open heart. We have many examples from the Jamaat before us. First and foremost, during the era of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First radiyallahu ta'ala anhu made remarkable sacrifices. During that era, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First spent generously in order to fulfill the mission of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and to assist him in every possible way. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, himself mentioned this on one occasion and said that if I were to grant him permission, he would give away everything. That is, Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, Khalifatul Masih I, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, would have sacrificed all that he possessed for this cause. Just as he had shown complete spiritual devotion, he also fulfilled the right of physical companionship and constant attendance. I did not give him permission, otherwise he would have given everything away. He then wrote, I shall reproduce here a few lines from some of his letters as examples. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, Hazrat Maulana Nuruddin Sahib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, once wrote to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, that may I be sacrificed for you, for whatever I possess is not mine, it is yours. O my guide and mentor, I submit with utmost sincerity that if my entire wealth and property were to be spent in the service of faith, I would have attained my true purpose. Observe how Allah the Almighty granted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, companions such as Abu Bakr, Umar and Usman, and others who made immense financial sacrifices. In the same manner, owing to the promised Messiah's perfect following of his master, peace be upon him, granted him such devoted servants who were ever ready to sacrifice everything and who reflected the very example of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, these promises are also from Allah the Almighty, that whoso gives in the way of Allah, I shall bless him manifold, and he shall be granted abundance in this very world, and after death he shall behold the reward of the hereafter, seeing how much peace and comfort are granted to him. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further stated, if at this time I draw your attention to this matter, that you should spend your wealth for the progress of Islam, know that blessings are found therein, both in this world and in the next. And these are not mere words. In fact, we find examples of this at the time of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, and witness this even today. Even in this age, many people write to me expressing how Allah the Almighty blesses their wealth after they spend it in His cause, and how Allah the Almighty removes difficulties from their lives and strengthens their faith. I will mention a few such accounts. In Albania, a missionary writes about an Albanian friend, Bilal Yusuf Sahib, who is a simple and humble man of limited means. He writes that during the Jalsa, he served every day for a week, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m, without seeking anything in return, purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty's pleasure. And many volunteers around the world render similar service at Jalsa. Some, despite such personal constraints, and others without any constraints, and whose needs are met. But in Bilal Sahib's case, after working daily at Jalsa until 4 p.m, he would then go to his regular job at 4 o'clock. He writes that one day he came with an envelope containing 75 euros as his Tariq-e-Jadid contribution. Albania is a poor country of Eastern Europe, and he said to the missionary that I have collected this sum for many days to offer as my contributions. And on the envelope he had written in an Albanian language, presented for the service of the community with great joy. Perhaps some may say that 75 euros may seem insignificant, but the missionary writes that this amount represented 15% of his income, from which he also had to pay his rent. A worldly person may say that how can these people possibly spread Islam with a meager 75 euros? Or how will a few euros help spread Islam, whereas the organizations and governments that are against Islam possess billions upon billions of pounds, and they are spending this money in Islam's opposition? Yet, Allah the Almighty bestows so much grace upon these small sacrifices that through these, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community is able to establish missions, and there are many such people. He is not the only one who offered 75 euros. There are others who give even less. But the community, through Allah the Almighty's grace, continues to accomplish its tasks across the world with these very small amounts. Through these seemingly humble sums, It is spreading the message of Islam throughout the world. Its progress by Allah's bounty far exceeds that of those who spend billions of dollars against Islam. Likewise, in some countries even poorer than these, we witness scenes of sacrifice reminiscent of the early days of Islam, or of the time when the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam first called for financial sacrifices, or of that period when Hazrat Muslim Awd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu launched the scheme of Tariq-e-Jadid and stated that today the enemy is fully prepared and has attacked us. Therefore, spend in the cause of Allah. And upon this appeal, people made great sacrifices. Poor women sold their hens and the eggs of those hens to give their financial contributions. Now these were seemingly small sacrifices. And at that time, Hazrat Muslim Awd radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had said that 27,000 rupees should be collected within 3 years throughout India. Yet, due to the spirit of sacrifice, the community gathered 100,000 rupees within a single year. And even today, such examples of sacrifice can be seen, especially in poorer countries. In Indonesia, there is a member, Jawa Muzaffar Sahib, who relates that one day, an elderly lady from the community came to my wife. She brought with her a few bundles of firewood with the intention that we might purchase them from her. I told her that we did not need any as we already had firewood stored from before. They live in a small town or village, and in such towns or underdeveloped countries, residents burn wood for cooking, as natural gas is not available there, and so perhaps they use small kerosene stoves for their needs. But in any case, firewood is still used. He further relates, and so, since we already had other means to utilize as well, we did not use much firewood. And so I told her that we did not need any more. Yet, seeing that the poor elderly woman had carried the bundle upon her head and brought them herself, my wife took pity on her and decided to buy them. The value of the Indonesian rupee is very low, and figures are usually in the hundreds of thousands. And so they bought that bundle of firewood for 100,000 rupees, which equals only a few Pakistani rupees. He further says, when we purchased it and offered her the payment, the elderly woman said that I have not brought these so that I may take money from you and spend it on myself. Rather, I brought them so that I might offer it for my contribution for Tariq-e-Jadid. So please count this amount as my Tariq-e-Jadid contribution. His wife was also a Lajna office bearer, and she handed over the entire amount right there and left without even taking a single penny for herself. Similarly, another member from Indonesia, Cecilia Sahiba, relates that a few years ago our financial circumstances were extremely poor. We had a 7-year-old son and I was expecting another child. When the second child was born, Eid was approaching and the amount we had all pledged for Tariq-e-Jadid, which was 12 lakh rupees, was still outstanding. As I've already mentioned, the value of the rupee there is very low, but we find the same spirit that we have seen in the earlier elders. She says that although our promise was 12 lakh rupees, however, we wish to pay our Tariq-e-Jadid contribution and to write to the Khalifa of the time for prayers. She says we made every effort, but due to our poverty, it seemed impossible. Then one day, I checked my bank account, which had a small amount in it, and to my utter surprise, there were 12.5 lakh rupees in it. She says that if we gave it all, we would be left with nothing. Yet we decided to pay all 12 lakh on behalf of my husband, myself, and our elder child, and the remaining 50,000 on behalf of our newborn baby. Thus, we paid the entire amount, and we were left with absolutely nothing. However, we felt no sorrow whatsoever. Rather, we experienced joy in our hearts that we had fulfilled our promise and also included our newborn in it as well. She further relates, but Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace in such a manner that within a week we received an income of 12 million rupees. Seeing this, we were convinced that Allah the Almighty had fulfilled His promise of granting tenfold increase, and Allah fulfilled His promise instantly. Similarly, the missionary from Ghana writes that when faith-inspiring accounts from these sermons of Khalifatul Masih were narrated to the members, a Ghanaian member who was deeply moved by these accounts donated the very last amount he possessed in the way of Allah the Almighty. He relates that as soon as he stepped out of the mosque, he received two phone calls that would change the course of his life. Two potential clients contacted him, each offering lucrative opportunities through which he earned more than 20 times the amount he had just contributed. This extraordinary account serves as a powerful reminder of how Allah the Almighty swiftly and magnificently rewards those who sacrifice in his cause. It also greatly strengthened his faith. Likewise, the wife of a muallim from Kenya writes that when she was expecting her first child, many complications arose which caused great anxiety. The doctors expressed grave concern, and she says that I shared all my worries with my husband and told him how worried I was. Her husband replied that pray to Allah the Almighty, for He alone is our helper. But what we can do immediately is offer a sacrifice. And since the year of Tehreek-e-Jadid is about to end, let us pay whatever remains of our promised contribution and entrust the matter to Allah the Almighty. He will surely bless us. The condition of these people's faith is extraordinary. And so she did as he advised, and a few days later, she saw the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam in a dream. He was wearing a black coat, a turban, and was holding a staff in his hand. And the promised Messiah alayhi salam said to her, that do not worry, the delivery will be safe and sound, though it shall be from your side. In due course, she gave birth to a child safely through an operation performed from one side of her abdomen, and no complications arose whatsoever. She firmly believes that this was purely the grace of Allah the Almighty bestowed to her as a result of her sacrifice. She says this was despite the fact that whilst she was expecting, the doctors had raised many concerns. Thus, Allah the Almighty strengthens the faith of Ahmadis living in distant lands through such experiences, and at the same time manifests fresh signs in support of the truth of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. The missionary in charge of Guinea-Conakry writes that I was narrating faith-inspiring accounts from the sermons of Khalifatul Masih and drawing attention towards making greater sacrifices in financial contributions, especially as the Tehreek-e-Jadid year was nearing its end. I also reminded the members that our budget had not yet been met and that we ought to strive to attain the target. That same evening, a man came to the mission house and handed over an envelope, saying it was sent by Mr. Muhammad Al-Hassan Kubi or Yakubi Sahib. When the envelope was opened, it contained 300 euros, amounting to nearly 3 million Guinean francs. And so, upon calling Kubi Sahib to confirm that he had sent her a letter and what the reason was for it, he explained that after listening to your sermon earlier, that our target was incomplete, I returned to my office and found this amount lying in my drawer along with a long list of pending expenses which were to be paid through this sum. And so I immediately threw that list into the bin and sent you this sum for Tehreek-e-Jadid. He had already paid his contribution for that year in full, and it was a substantial amount. These are truly remarkable and extraordinary accounts of sacrifice from the people living in Africa. Undoubtedly, these deeds fill their hearts with faith, and such acts are inspired by Allah the Almighty alone, as this cannot be the work of any human. Moreover, through these experiences, they personally witness how Allah the Almighty abundantly blesses their sacrifice, which in turn inspires them to make even more sacrifices. There are countless accounts, and it is not possible to mention all of them, and I am not able to even mention the ones I have selected. But nonetheless, I shall mention a few of them. The inspector of Tehreek-e-Jadeed in India writes about a man from Telangana, Hyderabad, who had pledged 7,000 rupees. But due to losing his job, he could not fulfill his promise. Yet, for the next year, he increased his pledge to 10,000 rupees. And when asked why he had raised it despite not having paid the previous amount, he replied with firm conviction that Allah Himself will provide the means, for I am giving it in His cause. And so, within a few days, he found employment which was better than before, and he managed to pay off 2 years of arrears, and for the new year raised his pledge from 7,000 rupees to 20,000 rupees, which he also fulfilled. Thus, Allah the Almighty rewarded him for his positive thinking. Similarly, there is another account from Indonesia. These are truly remarkable incidents, and they are by no means mere coincidences. For those who experience them are fully aware of the circumstances under which they make their sacrifices, and the conditions in which the thought of sacrifice first arises in their hearts, and the manner in which they subsequently witness the power of Allah the Almighty manifest before their very eyes. Nonetheless, he writes, "As some time ago, one very devoted and sincere Ahmadi, Bahadur Jan Sahib, purchased a car from a taxi company in order to continue his work as a taxi driver. He says that after buying the vehicle, I went to the traffic police office to get it registered, and they informed me that the court had prohibited the registration of this car. He writes that when I had purchased the car, I had verified every detail carefully, and everything was in accordance with the law. However, I later discovered that the taxi company from which I had bought the car was under heavy debt, and for this reason, the court had issued an injunction preventing the company from selling any of its vehicles. At that time, the company owned 35 cars, all of which had been placed under a legal ban. And the former owners of the company said, 'We have filed a case in court. Please wait until the verdict is announced. And God willing, you will receive the car once the matter is resolved.' He said, 'Very well.' And then further relates that at that time, my promise for Tehreek-e-Jadeed was due, and I thought to myself that I should pay it before I become preoccupied with these worldly concerns. Thus, he immediately paid his dues both towards Tehreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed. He says, only a few days later, I happened to check the company's website, and to my astonishment, I discovered that the restriction on the car I had purchased had been lifted, and I could hardly believe it and thought perhaps I had made a mistake. Therefore, I went to the traffic inspector, who verified the record and confirmed that out of the 35 cars, the ban had been lifted from only one, and the removal of restrictions from the remaining 34 vehicles was dependent upon the outcome of the court verdict. And it was the very car that I had purchased for which the restriction was lifted. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the immediate blessing of spending in His cause was that Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace upon me." Indeed, these are the blessings of Allah which my eyes have personally witnessed for themselves at how Allah the Almighty blesses Ahmadis. Then, from Sikasso region in Mali, the missionary writes that Allah the Almighty manifests wondrous ways for the moral training of new converts and inclines their hearts towards financial sacrifice. One of the new converts from the city, Musa Sahib, came with a sum of 1 million francs and said that out of this amount, 500,000 francs should be counted as Chanda Jaidad, 400,000 as Chanda Vasiyat, and 100,000 for Tehreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed. When he was asked regarding this contribution and the reason behind it, he explained that for a long time, I had been saving money for various worldly projects. My attention and prayers were entirely devoted to the fulfillment of these material plans. However, last night, after offering the Tahajjud prayer, as I lay down, I saw in a dream that three men dressed in white garments came to me. The first of them addressed me and said, "Despite being an Ahmadi, your attention is focused entirely on worldly pursuits. Reflect upon how Allah the Almighty morally and spiritually trains the believers." And then he said, "It is better for you to turn your concern towards the hereafter." And the second person said that you have not yet paid your chanda jaidad for your house, so fulfill this due. Afterwards, the third person said to me that you have 4 million francs in your account. Immediately discharge the amount you had pledged for wasiyat. Therefore, after having received this clear guidance from Allah the Almighty, it is not permissible for me as an Ahmadi to use this money for any other purpose. and so kindly deduct the relevant amounts for the various funds. And so, such accounts not only strengthen the faith of these new converts, but also serve to reinvigorate the faith of long-standing Ahmadis, and we too must reflect upon how Allah the Almighty guides these people. Our opponents allege that the promised Messiah alayhi salam's claim is false, and that this is mere propaganda or a form of money-making business. Yet, observe how Allah the Almighty himself guides those who live in far-off lands, and people who have only recently entered the fold of Ahmadiyyat, who have even joined the institution of Wasiyyat, though perhaps they have not met or even seen the Khalifa of the time, except through MTA. Many of them have not even read much of the Jamaat's literature beyond the basics, and yet Allah the Almighty continues to strengthen their faith in that when they make sacrifices, Allah the Almighty accepts their sacrifices, and then Allah the Almighty continues to guide them further. There are many more such incidents. There is a long list, but for now I will leave them. I will mention only briefly some of the divine favors and blessings which Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon the Jamaat during this year through the spirit of sacrifice shown by its members and the reports of the sacrifice which have come through from the Jamaats. These are indeed the blessings of Allah the Almighty, and we must ponder how Allah the Almighty inspires both new and old Ahmadis alike to develop such sentiments and passion in terms of their moral and spiritual training, and thereby inclines their hearts towards offering sacrifices. In any case, according to the annual reports received from various countries of the world, but firstly, I would like to mention that last year marked the 91st year of Tehreek-e-Jadeed, which has now reached its completion. And I will announce today the commencement of the 92nd year. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Jamaat had the opportunity to present a sacrifice of 19.55 million, which is approximately an increase of 1.564 million pounds from the previous year. In terms of the position for overall contribution aside from Pakistan, Germany is currently number one, followed by UK. UK has made a significant contribution and have reached very close to Germany. And I feel that if they continue in their efforts like this, they may go above Germany next year. Similarly, USA has also made a significant increase. Likewise, Canada has also made a significant increase from the previous year. Then India, Australia, Indonesia, the Middle Eastern Jamaats, and Ghana have likewise made notable increases from last year. Mauritius and Holland are also among those that have shown a significant improvement. Among other countries who have made a notable effort in terms of their overall contribution, though they may not have attained any position, but nonetheless had done well, are Belgium, Sweden, France, Holland, which has already been mentioned, Kababir, Bangladesh, Burkina Faso, New Zealand. The conditions in Burkina Faso are extremely dire. Then there is Sierra Leone, Benin, Mali. Again, the conditions in Mali are also very bad, and the terrorists continue to carry out attacks. Niger, Turkey, Georgia, and the Jamaats in the Middle East and Australia. In Africa, the top five Jamaats in terms of their overall contribution are Ghana, Mauritius, Nigeria, Burkina Faso and Tanzania. And then the list continues. The total number of participants in Tehreek-e-Jadid this year has reached 1.7 million. And according to the reports, 43,586 members joined Daftar Shasham by the 6th register, which was announced 2 years ago. Jamaats should also know that all new participants in Tehreek-e-Jadid scheme should be recorded under the Daftar Shasham by the 6th register and then submit their reports to Wakalat-e-Mal. The top 10 Jamaats of Germany are as follows: Rodgau, Osnabrück, Pinneberg, Nidda, Florisheim, Rodemark, Bremen, Neuwied, Freiburg, Mitte, and Koblenz. As for the top 10 Emirates, they are Hamburg, Frankfurt, Grossgrau, Wiesbaden, Reichstadt, Mannheim, Dietzenbach, Mofelden-Waldorf, Rüsselsheim, and Darmstadt. In the UK, the first five regions are number 1 Islamabad, then Bait al-Futuh, Fazl Mosque, Bait al-Ihsan, and North East region. The 10 large local Jamaats of the UK are Islamabad, Ash, Worcester Park, South Cheam, Walsall, Farnham North, Aldershot South, Fazl Mosque, Farnham South, and Yule. Among the smaller Jamaats which have done notably well are Leamington Spa, Spen Valley, Keithley, Brentwood, and Jamia UK. In the USA, the top 10 Jamaats in terms of contributions are North Virginia, Maryland, Los Angeles, Seattle, Chicago, Dallas, Silicon Valley, North Jersey, South Virginia, Central Jersey, Baltimore, and Detroit. In Canada, the leading local Emirates are Vaughan, Calgary, Peace Village, Vancouver, Toronto West, Brampton East, and Mississauga. And the noteworthy Jamaats of Canada in terms of contributions are Hamilton Mountain, Hamilton, Edmonton West, Hadiqai Ahmed, Ottawa East, Ottawa West, Winnipeg, Regina, Vaudreuil, and Yellowknife. In Pakistan, based on overall contributions, the leading Jamaats are Lahore, Rabwa, and then Karachi. At the district level, the first position goes to Islamabad, followed by Faisalabad, Sialkot, Sargodha, Umarkot, Narwal, Mirpur Khas, Rahim Yar Khan, Toba Tek Singh, and Layya. And among the Jamaats in the cities of Pakistan that have offered notable sacrifices are Amarat Township Lahore, Amarat Defense Lahore, Amarat Darul Zikr Lahore, Amarat Allama Iqbal Town Lahore, Amarat Baitul Fazl Faisalabad, Bahawalnagar, Quetta, Bahawalpur, Lodhran, and Sahiwal. In India, the leading 10 provinces are Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Telangana, Odisha, Jammu and Kashmir, Karnataka, Punjab, Bengal, Maharashtra, and Delhi. And among the top 10 local Jamaats of India in terms of financial sacrifice are Hyderabad, Coimbatore, Tamil Nadu, Qadian, Calicut, Melapalayalam, Manjeri, Kerala, Bangalore, Kerang, Kolkata, and Kerala. From Australia, the top 10 Jamaats are Melbourne Long Warren, Melbourne Berwick, Marsden Park, Penrith, Melbourne West, Castle Hill, Adelaide West, Melbourne Clyde, Perth, and Melbourne East.
Perth, Melbourne East.
Regarding the various years of registers of Tehreek-e-Jadid, as mentioned earlier, the 92nd year has now commenced. The previous accounts of each register continue as follows. Daftar Awwal, the first register, has entered its 92nd year. Daftar Dom, the second register, its 82nd year. The third register has entered its 61st year. The fourth register, its 41st year. And the fifth register has entered its 22nd year. And Daftar Shashamai, the sixth register, has entered its third year. And as mentioned before, all new participants in Tehreek-e-Jadid should be included in the Daftar Shashamai sixth register. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "My dear friends, I assure you that Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon me a heartfelt zeal to show compassion to you, and He has granted me true cognizance of the divine in order to increase your faith and divine cognizance. This insight is something you and your progeny are in great need of. Therefore, I stand ready to call upon you to assist with your pure wealth in the service of faith. Each person, according to the means and capacity bestowed upon him by Allah the Almighty, should contribute in this path and not show any reluctance in this cause, and do not give any precedence to this wealth over Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon him. Then, to the best of my ability, I shall, through my writings and literature, spread in the countries of Asia and Europe those knowledges which Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon me. It is our duty now to fulfill the mission which was entrusted to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam by Allah the Almighty. Through these financial sacrifices, Allah the Almighty is enabling us to convey the message of Islam across everywhere to Asia, Europe, America, Africa, Arab nations, South America and the Pacific Islands. It is not just the financial sacrifices presented by those living in Europe. In fact, people in other parts of the world, just as I mentioned, are coming forward and excelling in their financial sacrifices. May Allah the Almighty accept their sacrifices and bless them and their wealth, and may He grant manifold blessings to our efforts and bring about its best results. And may we quickly witness the rule of the one God established across the whole world, and the flag of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, raised aloft in the world."
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يعمر إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.